A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey there, you are listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. I am Kendra Adachi, and I'm here to help you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. Today is episode 355, What to Do When You're Bored with Your Life. This feeling hits all of us at some point, I think. You're bored with the meals you eat, the clothes you wear, the stuff in your house. You're bored with your job, your routine, your partner maybe, all kinds of things. Adults don't get bored the way kids do. You know, there's no like, I'm bored, I don't have anything to do. When you are a responsible grown up, there's always something to do, always. And even when we have leisure time, we struggle to choose how to spend it. So I just don't think there is ever a time where we have nothing to do. In fact, we would love to be bored in the traditional sense. I would love to be bored. But that's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about what happens when you're bored with your life or a specific part of it. So today I'm going to offer you a process to help you get past that feeling of being bored with something in your life. Also, just a heads up, today is an aggressively windy day here in Greensboro to the point where the wind was shaking my office door a second ago. So usually the loud noises that I hear, you don't hear, but still just a heads up that sometimes the wind sounds like a train today. Holy moly. Okay, let's talk about adult boredom and what to do when you're bored with your life. For a lot of us, I think this type of boredom originates with repetition. We eat the same thing, wear the same thing, see the same people, have the same fight, drive the same route, do the same work, look at the same room. And there is something about that sameness, that repetition, that leaves us discontent. Now, repetition itself is actually really great for a lot of us. You know, just because you drink the same type of coffee every day, it doesn't automatically mean that you're bored with it or that you ever will be. Repetition on its own doesn't equal boredom, but repetition paired with some kind of discontentment does. If you are repeating something again and again and it's not satisfying, fulfilling, fun, or any other word that resonates with you, you're likely going to get bored with it. So for adults, repetition plus discontentment probably equals boredom. Now, what's interesting about this kind of boredom is that it's often stimulating. It makes a lot of us frustrated, possibly even demonstrative. It can lead to big black trash bag energy, you know? We are so tired of being bored with our lives, and that boredom activates us. It makes us want to make some kind of big change. Or it activates us emotionally, makes us feel really big feelings about our lives. We might even, you know, generalize and catastrophize a little bit, thinking about what could be, about what life would look like if we had a different job, a different family structure, a different partner, a different body, a different personality. Depending on how compromised we are, especially as women with hormones, ordinary pressures of life, sleep deprivation, how surly our people have been toward us that day, we might spiral here pretty quickly. The other day I was with one of my kids who was in his own state of catastrophizing. And we talked about these kinds of feelings, about how they spiral. And I said it was like a twisty slide at the park. Once you push off onto that slide, you know, once you start going down that twisty slide, you go faster and faster, swirling to the bottom, and it's really hard to stop. As we talked, we called some of his sweeping statements about his own life bottom of the slide words. All of us have bottom of the slide words. All of us have said something that is so broad and encompassing and not truly representative of how we actually feel. But because we're already sliding, it's tough to stop. So the work is in noticing when you're having bottom of the slide feelings or saying bottom of the slide words. Sometimes our boredom with our lives feels bigger than it is. And naming that discrepancy between what is and how we feel about it is the first step in finding contentment again. It's not that you're, bored with your entire life. It might be that you feel like you've lost yourself a little in the stage of life that you're in. And you see that every time you look in the mirror at what you're wearing or something, or you've been making the same 7 dinners over and over again. And rather than naming that you're bored with dinner, you hit the bottom of the slide and you are so frustrated that your family is so picky that you can't cook and eat the way that you want. And you slide deep into resentment of your family. Or maybe you're frustrated with the repetition of those 7 meals that you put in place because your boss is demanding, but you start to spiral down that slide. You don't have time to cook a real dinner because you're so frustrated at your job and you find yourself so discontent that you start looking for new jobs, looking for job openings in other places while you're, eating one of your 7 dinners again. It happens fast. So all that to say, adult boredom, it can activate us, right? Our discontentment compels us to make some kind of change, often a big one. Or we feel big feelings that can spiral into a general discontentment with our whole life. Now, for other people, adult boredom can shut you down. Being annoyed with the repetitive nature of certain parts of your life, it makes you feel like Eeyore. You're just kind of ho-hum about it. And it slows you down. You think there's nothing about your life that stimulates you. So you match the pace of how you live with the pace of how you feel about how you live. This is just how it is, in your best Eeyore voice. So it's not stimulating. It's actually a little depressing. I don't mean clinical depression, but general depression. You feel heavy and slow in a way that doesn't match how you want to feel about your life. And it's hard to find joy in it. Now, all this might seem a little heavy. And because I care about you, I really hope this isn't your consistent story. I hope that this comes in waves rather than being in the water that you always swim in, that this is the way it always is. But I bring it up because 1, it's common. And 2, the pace of our lives does not often leave space for us to think about our lives. We go and go and go. And if we're feeling discontent or bored with certain parts of our lives, we just assume the whole thing is bad. We're bored of everything. We're discontent with everything. Even though it might be just one thing, that boredom or discontentment or frustration, it bleeds into other areas simply because the way we live doesn't naturally have space for us to consider what's really going on. That's why I love 2 of our 13 Lazy Genius principles: schedule rest and let people in. When we take time to rest, we see things more clearly. And when we let people in to how we're feeling, we feel seen and encouraged and no longer alone. And that's positive, right? That's a positive upswing. It even changes our brain chemistry. Connection with people changes our brain chemistry to see our lives differently. It's pretty wild. So all that to say, adult boredom, when it hits, could hit you pretty hard. Knowing that a lot of us experience that all or nothing energy in our lives, that is helpful in and of itself. We can recognize, these are bottom of the slide words. What's really going on here? I swung real far, real fast. And then you can consider what specifically you need, right? You can be better equipped to find a real practical small change that can successfully move you past the boredom. Bring some contentment back to how things are, or maybe even give you an idea of how things might be able to change in a direction that matters to you, but not in those big sweeping steps and that big black trash bag energy. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through a little exercise here to help you when you're bored with your life, whether it's a specific part or the whole ding dang thing. This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Recently, I was driving the middle school carpool, and the two eighth graders were talking about how they had to take a foreign language in high school next year. One of them said, "Man, why do we have to take a class? Can't we just use Rosetta Stone? That thing works great." And while I tend to stay quiet during carpool, I did pipe up from the front. It really is, right? Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It is available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. You can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Lazy Genius podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/genius. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/genius today. This episode is sponsored by Third Love. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love's mission is to take the frustration out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, or as they call them, problems. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. My go-to Third Love bra is the Perfect Coverage 24/7 Classic Bra. It's been a favorite for 3 years, and I find myself reaching for it every morning. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15. This episode is sponsored by Green Chef. Have you heard of Green Chef? I love a good meal kit, and this one puts Whole Foods front and center. Green Chef delivers quality Whole Foods with limited processed ingredients, including low added sugar and sodium smart options, so you can match whatever dietary needs you have. Each week, choose from over 80 flavor-packed meals and easily customize them to suit your lifestyle preferences. I planned for my next Green Chef delivery to come next week, because next week is like peak month of May bonkers, and I already know I will not have the energy for lunches. Yep, I'm using this meal kit box for lunches for me and my husband, and I cannot wait. Want to try Green Chef? Go to greenchef.com/lazygenius50 and use code lazygenius50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/lazygenius50 and use code lazygenius50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. The number one meal kit for eating well. This episode is sponsored by Pros. We all know your hair and skin can sway your mood and impact your day, good or bad. But since I switched to custom hair care by Pros, I've had more good hair days than ever before. Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Every bottle of Pros custom hair and skin care is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients. It literally could not exist without you. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of you, what you eat, where you live, and what you want from your hair and skin. My Made for Kendra products take into account the average humidity and UV index in Greensboro. Wild. And because it's made for me, I've seen consistently softer, shinier, stronger hair every day. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/lazygenius. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/lazygenius. That's PROSE.com/lazygenius. Okay, the first step, name it. Name it. Complete the sentence. I am bored with blank. Name what you're bored with. And you can say, I'm bored with my whole life. Like, that's fair if that's how you're feeling. Now, is it accurate? Probably not, but we'll get to that. But answer that question. I am bored with blank. I'm bored with what we eat. I'm bored with my clothes. I'm bored in the city. I'm bored with my job. I'm bored with myself. First, name it. I'm bored with blank. Second, check it. Check in as to why you're feeling this way. Did you feel this way last week? Will you feel this way next week? Is it your hormones? Did something happen at work to set you off? Is there a lurking expectation that you're feeling from someone else? that you don't know how you're going to meet and it's kind of festering in you? Is there a lurking expectation you had within yourself that you didn't know was there and now you're disappointed? You thought something would happen and then it didn't. And that kind of caused this discontentment, this slide to start happening, right? Is it that your kid just had a meltdown and yelled at you and now you're dysregulated? That happens to me. Check it. Check that boredom. Check that discontentment that you're feeling against what's going on right now. There is a chance it'll pass or lessen or become clearer after a little bit. So name it, then check it. Next, if in the checking you're still like, yeah, I'm still bored with this thing. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Then snap it, like with your fingers. Name it, check it, then snap it. I want you to do that by completing the sentence. If I could snap my fingers, blank would happen. If I could snap my fingers, blank would happen. Flip the script on your current situation. Change it up however you want. You could be ridiculous even. If I could snap my fingers, I would have a personal chef. If I could snap my fingers, my husband would happily do way more in the house than he currently does. If I could snap my fingers, my kids would eat whatever I make without complaining. If I could snap my fingers, I'd have a new job in a new city. If I could snap my fingers, I would live in a different home that actually reflects my style. If I could snap my fingers, I would know my style. Name it, check it, snap it. You're kind of flipping the coin to the other side to see what your life would look like if you could snap your fingers and make this boredom automatically better. Now, why are we doing this? You might think that doing that will make you more discontent. And I can understand that argument. Now, hopefully it won't, or at least not for very long. The point of snap it is to help you identify what's really going on. By naming a solution, even one that is completely out of your reach in a way that you describe, you might be naming at least the category of the solution. This is especially true if you do feel bored with your whole life. If you start out by naming, I'm bored with my whole life, and then you snap it and say, if I could snap my fingers, I'd live in a different place. You can ask yourself why. What is it about a different place? Is it that you need a change of scenery? Is it because a new place means you would leave some broken, hurtful relationships behind? Is it because you've lived where you've lived forever and you're just itching for a change? Again, the checking step, the second step before this, it helps rationalize some of these things already and put them in context of what's going on in your reality. But snapping it helps you see a wide path you might want to walk down. You can't get a personal chef probably, but at least you know that something in the meal prep, decision-making, cooking area is what would make this sense of boredom ease a little. Okay, so name it, check it, snap it. Don't you love these names? I do. Next, soften it. Soften it. First, be kind to yourself. If you snapped it and you said something that you would be embarrassed to say to another person, like if I could snap my fingers, I'd be married to someone else. Be kind to yourself. This is a thought exercise. And sometimes we feel big feelings about our lives. If you're bored with your whole life because you're disconnected from your partner, of course that your snap it would be, if I could snap my fingers, I'd have a different partner. So soften it by being kind to yourself and whatever comes out. You can also soften it by naming your season of life. It's like you're rounding the edges of this whole thing. The soften it step rounds the edges. Is this a season thing? Do I need to soften my expectations because of the season I'm in? Is this a resources thing? You know, am I wishing for more time, more energy, more help, more money? Allow these answers to soften your reality, or more specific even, your perspective about your reality. You know, it helps you live in your season. When you snap it, you likely are going to see a stark difference to what you're experiencing now, which is kind of the point. But then soften it by making it more connected to your reality, to your actual life. Soften it by naming the season you're in, the ways that you wish you had more help, the fact that you're in perimenopause and you are not sleeping because of it, and that's impacting everything. Soften the snap a little by kindly naming where you are today. And then name it again. Okay? So we named it, name what you're bored with. Check it. Check that against what's happening in and around you right now. snap it, snap your fingers, and let that stark difference help you identify what really might be going on. Soften it. Access some kindness towards yourself, your people, your season, your resources, your reality, and then name it again. Use all that information to name what you're really bored with, what you're really discontent about, what specifically you would like to change. That process helps you really get down to what's going on to make it smaller. Then we get to be practical. Then you get to ask yourself, okay, what do I need? What do I need here? What am I missing? And get more specific than that by asking, how can I start small here with what I need? Nothing happens in big sweeps. Very few of us have the ability to literally quit our jobs and move to a different place and start over, right? That's why we have episodes like How to Start Fresh When You Can't Start Over. Starting over is not doable for most of us. So instead of resenting that and continuing to be bored and discontent with your life, let's name it, check it, snap it, soften it, name it again, and then ask, what do I need? What do I need here? What do I need to start small here? You can move forward in improving this area of your life. Softening it doesn't mean ignoring it or just powering through it. You can make changes in areas that matter to you. But as we all know, you cannot do it all at once. And you cannot do it on the big scale of, I am bored with my whole life. You have to start small. So what do you need in order to do that? Okay, so let's walk through this process twice using two different examples. The first I already mentioned, it might be a little heavy, but I think it's also super relevant to a lot of you listening. The second one is much lighter, okay? I already mentioned that one of the things that might come from your snap is embarrassingly naming that you want a different partner. That's a hard thing to say. What if the thing that you're bored with is enormous like that, right? What if it's so huge and even hurtful? That's a lot, right? But boredom in committed relationships is often part of the deal. I've known very few marriages or long-term partnerships that have gone as long as they have without some season of boredom with each other, with disconnection, with discontentment. Like, that's a normal part of a relationship. So let's go through this process, assuming that's the issue. And you could sub in any issue you want, but let's assume one of these is really big, okay? So we're going to start with name it. I'm bored with my marriage, okay? All right, now check it. You might say, yes, I do feel more intense about this today because I saw another couple do something fun and it made me realize how bored I am with my marriage. And I might feel differently about that tomorrow or next week, but I feel this often enough that I know I want something to change. This is not just, you know, one drop in the bucket. Okay. Next, snap it. If I could snap my fingers, you might say, honestly, I would have a different partner. Okay. Next, let's soften it. Let's soften the edges of that kindly, right? Maybe you might say, I don't want a different person. I don't want to be married to a different human. I just want my partner to be different in this area. I just want him to help me more, to carry more of the load, to acknowledge the load that I do carry. Okay. You hear how that's softer. All right. Next, name it again, right? Name it, check it, snap it, soften it, name it again. You might say, I'm bored with my marriage because I feel like my partner doesn't see me, doesn't see how much I do or how fun I am or that I'm sad about our marriage. Okay. From there, what do you need? You might answer, I need the courage to tell him, or I need time to myself on a regular basis, or I need regular daily acknowledgement and gratitude for the role that I play in this family, or I need my partner to initiate conversation or activities or connection that aren't related to the kids or the house or responsibilities or whatever. Do you see how this is becoming something that's actually doable? Okay, and then finally, how can you start small and moving in this direction? You might say, I can listen to Kendra's episode on how to lazy genius the division of labor. Look at that. You could say, I can talk to my therapist about this in my next session. I can talk to my partner who's actually really understanding, just a little clueless. And I'm going to invite that conversation this weekend when neither of us has to gear up for a busy weekday the next day. So I want you to look at this. Do you see how we went from a frustrated, activated, I'm bored with my marriage, to I'm going to talk to Dan Friday night and let him know that I'm feeling sad recently, that I just don't feel very seen. Doesn't that feel better? Now, is it easier? Not always. Not always. Sometimes it feels easier to stay bored, to stay discontent, to stay resentful even, than to risk disappointment and trying to make it better. I get that. In this hypothetical specifically, I think it comes down to choosing if you would rather resent your husband or your partner or be disappointed by that first conversation. Like, the resentment isn't going to go anywhere. Without some kind of actual change, you'll probably just stay resentful. But a conversation, or more accurately, a series of them, because this is part of partnership, a conversation might be disappointing and that your partner doesn't get it right away, but it also might start to help them get it. You know, you and Dan might start taking small steps together over the literal life of your whole relationship to becoming more equal partners in the management of your life, but also closer friends in the fun that you have in life. Now, for me, that trade-off is a no-brainer. I would much rather risk being disappointed that things don't happen right away than stay resentful. And knowing the energy and the heart of this community, I think that you're probably the same. Now, that's a heavier example, again, probably fairly relevant to some of you, at least in certain seasons, but it's good to walk the process. Now let's do the process with something a little lighter, maybe, okay? First up, name it. I'm bored with my clothes. Let's say you're bored with your clothes, okay? I feel boredom statements have like a timbre to them. You know, you're like, I'm bored with my clothes. If you say something like that, maybe you should walk through this process. Okay, so you're bored with your, I'm bored with my clothes. Check it. Am I PMSing? And I'm super bloated and cranky, and therefore everything I put on feels like a trash bag. Okay, maybe it is. Or maybe not. Maybe you're legit bored with your clothes, and you have been for a long time for any number of reasons, okay? All right, next, snap it. If I could snap my fingers, I would have an entirely new wardrobe, kind of like that old What Not to Wear show where they'd get $5,000 and they'd get all new clothes in 2 days, you know? Or if I could snap my fingers, I would know what I like. If I could snap my fingers, I would never have to shop again. If I could snap my fingers, I would like how I look every time I get dressed. Do you see how all these snaps indicate a different problem? If you would snap your fingers and have a new wardrobe, maybe you've been wearing the same clothes for over a decade and you need a refresh. Your body has changed, your style has changed, your taste has changed, your clothes have changed because they're old, like they literally don't look the way that they look when you bought them. And frankly, that's just one snap. That's four things coming out of just one snap. Okay, next step, soften it. I know I want all new clothes, okay, but my resources won't let me do that. But it's normal and okay for me to want to enjoy what I wear and want it to reflect who I am. You know, you might say to yourself, I can care about how I present myself to the world. And I can also do that without replacing everything I own. You're softening it. It's kind of like our process of how to pivot around any obstacle. You know, it's first thing is you take a deep breath. And the second thing is to access some softness. Softening your stance against your discontentment and your boredom, it's a really important step. It just helps you take an emotional deep breath and helps you see things for what they really are. Okay, now name it again. Now that you've gone through this, let's name it again. I'm bored because I haven't gotten myself anything new that I really and truly love in a really long time. Okay, we can do something with that. All right, so the next question is, what do I need? I need a new item, a new piece of clothing that adds some pizzazz for this upcoming season I'm in. Okay, so we have entered spring here in North Carolina. So maybe for you, if this is a process that you might walk through, maybe it's like getting a fun new dress or a cute pair of bright sunglasses that make any outfit feel more put together, or a pair of shoes that does the same thing, you know, It's like, I need one new thing to add some fun to what I already have. Now, you also might say, I need to get rid of some clothes, though, that don't fit my body or my style anymore. Now, obviously, that's within reason, you know, because you still need things to wear. I think we all fall into that trap where we like get rid of everything and then we're like, oh no, I didn't get anything new yet. And now I don't have anything to wear. So like do within reason. But like if you literally cannot wear it, remove it from your closet so you can see what you do love. Or you can at least, you know, tolerate it more than you do your other stuff. And then finally, after you name what you need, ask yourself, what can you do to start small with what you need, you know? You can clean out one drawer. You can go to a shoe store and browse to see what pairs of shoes make you feel excited. You know, you can talk to an expert. You can hire Aaron Stoll from Style Thief Fashion to meet with you for one session to help you name some things about your style and what you can do next. So in this example, we went from, I'm so bored with my clothes, to, I'm going to stop by the shoe store after work and see what kinds of shoes catch my eye and get me excited. Not even to buy it yet, just to see what I like. What a difference, right? What a difference. This process really does work. Name it, check it, snap it, soften it, and then name it again. Now that you really know what's going on, name what you need and a small way that you can start. I know that the words are like a little, you know, it feels like a bop it. Did any of you think that when you're listening? You know, is it like bop it, pull it? It's a little bit like that. But really, really, that catchiness might make it stick. So once again, name it, check it, snap it, soften it, and then name it again. Then from there, ask yourself what you need and a way that you can start small to get it. And that's what to do when you're bored with your life. Okay, before we go, let's celebrate the Lazy Genius of the Week. This week, it's Kim Doucette who shared the idea of her car bag. I really love this. Kim writes this. I have a designated car bag. In the mornings before we head out, I put everything in there that we would need to bring in the car and give my kids the heads up that whatever they want to have for the car rides today needs to get in the green bag before we leave. Kim has young kids, like tiny kids. We're in the car a lot because we have one car. So we drive my husband to work and back 30 minutes each way, plus whatever activities we have. This has totally solved the whole running inside for the third time super fast because someone realized they wanted their poppet, but oh crap, we're so late problem. As well as the using our car as a storage unit problem. I collect everything in the car, into the bag at the end of the day, and then everything comes inside to be used or put away properly. This is a great idea, Kim. Kim also posted a photo of the bag that she uses in the Lazy Genius Facebook group. It's one of those like wide rectangular bags with a frame. Like it's almost like a storage bin, but more flexible and with handles. I love the idea of using bags to get out the door. Episode 226 is all about that. So I love the specificity of this. It uses a couple of Lazy Genius principles. Number one, put everything in its place, since everything for the car goes in the car bag. And then build the right routines, since taking the bag in and out of the car every time is built into the routine of leaving the house. And then it also uses ask the magic question. What can I do now to make being in the car with my kids easier later? You have everything you need in the car bag. It's really great, Kim. So thank you for sharing this idea and congratulations on being the Lazy Genius of the Week. One more quick thing. If you listen to this episode on either Monday, March 4th or Tuesday, March 5th, and you're not already on our mailing list, this month's latest Lazy Letter, the monthly newsletter, it goes out on Wednesday, March 6th, and it has some really exciting news in it. The newsletter people always get to hear fun things first, and this month's fun thing is a very cool one. So if you're not already subscribed, go to thelazygeniuscollective.com/join and sign up so you will get that email on Wednesday morning. This episode is hosted by me, Kendra Adachi, and executive produced by Kendra Adachi, Jenna Fisher, and Angela Kinsey. The Lazy Genius podcast is enthusiastically part of the Office Ladies Network. Special thanks to Leah Jarvis for weekly production. Thanks, y'all, for listening. And until next time, be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. I'm Kendra, and I'll see you next week.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.